Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Rescue and response efforts are continuing in Florida following the devastating damage inflicted by Hurricane Milton. At least 11 people are so far confirmed dead. That number is set to rise, though, as emergency workers make their way through the floodwaters and the debris. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said the state did not experience the worst case scenario, but officials are warning that more flooding is likely in the days ahead. 80,000 people stayed in shelters overnight. They've been returning to their homes to assess the damage. We'll speak to one of those people, Matt Faustini from Largo, Florida, in just a minute. But I also want to speak now to Royston Brady, our own Royston Brady from Dublin, of course, former Lord Mayor, who's been in Miami for the last 10 years. Hello, Royston.
A very good morning to you, Claire. How are you doing?
Good. How are things with you there?
Much better than when I spoke to you 48 hours or 24 hours ago. A serious sense of relief around the area. You know, as all the reports are indicating, unfortunately, that number has risen to 14 deaths just in the last few minutes.
Okay.
But having said that, when you put that a pale, you know, and every death is a real tragedy. But the previous week, it's close on 300 from the previous hurricane, and they're still counting. So I think the messaging worked. I think the approach that, you know, the city officials and the state officials took, and FEMA, they really pushed that message that people needed to evacuate, take this seriously.
Mm-hmm. Is there already a fear, though, now that the authorities, right up to the president, issued those dire warnings in the run-up to the hurricane? Now you've Ron DeSantis saying, look, it wasn't the worst-case scenario. When it happens again, because it will happen again, people mightn't heed those warnings in the same way.
Well, that is definitely the challenge. And, you know, it's terrible to see in the aftermath of something like this, but it always happens. It's getting politicised now. There's issues around misinformation about what FEMA will pay out from damages to different people for their loss and stuff. So, yes, they had a very strong message. I mean, they used the word that you basically, they were telling everybody, you know, if you stay in place, you're going to die. This will kill you. And that does run the risk that, you know, when another event, unfortunately these weather events do happen on a regular basis at this time of the year, that people may become a bit more complacent, and you'd hate to see that happen. Having said that, they seem far more prepared this time around. When you look at the numbers, they're staggering. You know, they had 40 million meals ready, 40 million litres of water ready to go, fresh water, 20 million meals ready to dispatch. They just seem to be far more organised this week than they were the previous week, even mm-hmm. on a federal level.
But the whole thing is so, know, sorry to cut across your voice, and the whole thing is so politicised there, isn't it? I mean, we had that ally of Donald Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a Republican congresswoman, and she made those comments that the Democrats were controlling the weather. They had aimed it at Republican areas of Florida. Now, I saw Joe Biden in his press conference the night before reacting to that, and he was furious about it. But do those comments that she made, are they cutting through? I mean, are there some who believe them?
Unfortunately, you know, she's absolutely, and I don't say this lightly, she's a dreadful individual, that person in particular, because it's just so off the wall, some of the things. And I mean, you know, I've heard a lot in politics, but it's just gone so divisive. And people like that are really not helpful. You know, I always look at what I saw at the hotel. You know, even at times like this, when there's so much discourse and, you know, so much challenges with politics, I saw so many people show compassion and empathy the 24 hours leading up to this. You know, there was people coming in and they were absolutely terrified, you know, wondering what's going to happen to their property, wondering what's going to happen to their families. And really, when you see people helping each other, the way I saw it over the last 24 hours, it kind of restores your faith that there is a better way of doing things. But mm-hmm. again, you know, you are correct. It's just really sad to see some of the reports coming out from politicians and some of the things they're saying, and it's just not helpful.
Yeah, well, it clearly terrified the Democrats into getting as ready as they were, you know, preparing in the way that they did, as you have described. I mean, they took it very seriously this time, and that's not unrelated to where we are in the electoral cycle.
Definitely not. Definitely not. It's all to play for. I mean, you're less than 4 weeks out. Anything like this can change the course of that election. And we've seen that there's been so many twists and turns in the last couple of months. I mean, at one stage, you would have thought Donald Trump was unbeatable after the assassination attempts. The weeks after that, then they switched out on the Democrat side. That shifted things. Now you have hurricanes. You had a port strike a few last week. Where,
that's right. Yeah, we reported on that
a
here.
A lot of the haulage. Yeah, all the ports were going to go on strike. And that would have sunk Kamala Harris's campaign completely. They got that back on track. So you're right. They're trying to balance all this stuff, and there's no doubt about it. In the next couple of weeks, it could shift in any direction. Mm-hmm. And it gets to a desperation stage where they're coming out and saying absolutely anything they can to shift that little, because it's such a tight margin. You know, down to literally states like Pennsylvania, where you're looking to shift your vote, you know, just the slightest bit to take the state. So it does all feed back into everything that happens now in the next couple of weeks. And that is why the White House took this so seriously. They did play a large role in it. They were giving briefings. They were doing all kinds of stuff, which was unusual.
And Royston, listen, you were on the front pages yourself back home now over the course of the last week talking about all of this. And I was thinking to myself now, with the election coming up, you're gone but not forgotten. You could come back and run. Everyone knows who you are. You'd have a good chance now of success. Would you do it?
I tell you, I had a phone call. I was surprised myself to see some of the headlines and to be, I suppose, the way they write the headlines and they attach the photograph. I mean, even the kids saw it, my own kids, the two girls, P and Lily Rose, saw it, and they had stopped talking to me because they were so shocked that I'd be associated with statements. I said, no, I'd be known for making some outlandish statements, but I'd never go that far. So it was interesting to see the reaction. But you know, I like it over here. I don't like October, as you well know, but it's a fabulous place to live the other 11 months of the year.
Right.
Although, in years to come, I'd consider moving out because I don't know whether I could go through this kind of stress and, you know, pressure every year.
Of the storms, whether you'd be able to stick it.
Absolutely, it gets quite hectic.
Well, listen, we won't be surprised if we see your face on a poster at some stage in the future, Royston.
You never know, Claire. I never say never.
thanks so much, Royston, for talking to us again.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much. Same to you. Royston Brady there, who is in Miami. Now, let's go to our Largo resident, Matt Faustini, who's one of those people who evacuated to a medical shelter. Matt, you went for 24 hours to this place with your mother. I know now you've been able to get back home. How are you both doing?
Right now, we're part of the lucky group, actually. Luckily, we came home, very little damage to our property. We had a little water intrusion into our laundry room, but we came home to power, and a lot of people didn't. So that was a very big thing for us. It's sporadic. I mean, only about 30% of our county has power right now.
Right. And Matt, we heard there from Royston that the shelters were ready this time with water and with supplies. How was it? Was it comfortable?
Yes. I will say, you know, I've lived in Florida my entire life, in Pinellas County, and we always have thought of shelters as, you know, the worst kind of thing. You'd rather ride it out at home. At least I have always have. My mom and I went through Irma in 2018, and a storm, listening to those windows rattling back and forth, just hoping they're not going to break on you. We decided after that if we hadn't gotten new windows, we were going to evacuate this time. And although it was hard a couple times to follow through on that, we did follow through, and I'm glad we did, because the environment inside the shelter was actually very uplifting and helpful. Other than the moment when, unfortunately, the site lost we lost power and lost our generator for about 2 hours. But other than that, it really was a great sense of community, talking to neighbors, getting to know people.
Well, it's good to hear it, Matt, but you know, the whole thing must be incredibly stressful, especially going through it so soon after Helene.
Yeah, and for us, actually, really, yeah, to add Tropical Storm Debbie to it, too, because that had torrential rain that caused flash flooding here as well. So it's, I compare it in many ways right now. To me, it feels a lot like the 2004 season when we had four storms hit the state. And it is just emotionally, physically, mentally draining. And mm-hmm. I think we're all kind of at that point right now. So we're hoping we get to the end of November here in the end of hurricane season without another storm.
Well, Matt, I hope you and your mother have a very relaxing weekend in your own home there in Florida. Matt Faustini there, who is a Largo resident. Coming up next on the show, we'll be finding out how to make the perfect loaf of brown bread.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.